When are the feasts? This is Stefan Yah on YahVeYahweh.name, and Mary Van Arsdale has a simple prayer.
You can make your biggest dream come true. Miracles can happen now to you. Everything your soul is searching for, it's all there in just a simple prayer. And when you're down and out, you don't know what life is all about. There's a lot of love to overflow your doubt. It's all there in just a simple prayer. Just one of the world. It's all there in just a simple prayer. It's all there in just a simple prayer.
A simple prayer, so why not come just now to Messiah? Why not come to Messiah? With your guilt and sin, mercy's door is open, enter in. Why not now? Why not now at his separated feet, repentant bow? Why not now, repentant bow? Yahushua, the Messiah, is here to save you now. Why not come to Messiah in contrition bow? Suffer him to save you even now. Why not come to Messiah? Wondrous is his power. He'll bestow his favor this very hour. Why not come to Messiah, weary one, for rest, finding it in fullness on his breast? Why not come just now? Why not come to Messiah and repentant pray, cleanse me, Yahushua, and take my sins away? A good song from Elisha Hoffman, Why Not Now, copyrighted 1970 by Henry Date. John chapter 3, Messiah said. So we want to make it clear that we must be saved before we get into the message today about when is the feast. Messiah answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be begotten, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be begotten when he is old? Can't he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Messiah answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. So we could also see Acts chapter 2, but at a later time, Acts chapter 2, 38. But Messiah continues, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again or begotten. The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but can't tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Messiah answered and said, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto thee, that's right, we speak that we do not know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. Messiah said, If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For Yahweh sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should not be, or rather, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in Yahweh. Our deeds must be wrought in Yahweh. Oh, yes. John said later on in this chapter, in verse 27, that's chapter 3, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Messiah, but that I am sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." His joy has not been done away with. It is made full, or filled full. "He must increase, but I must decrease. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man received his testimony. He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that Yahweh is true." Also see Ezekiel 9:4. So it says, "He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that Yahweh is true. For he whom Yahweh has sent speaks the words of Yahweh. For Yahweh gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." One more verse. "He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of Yahweh abideth in him." We just don't hear that message in Messianic assemblies, the message of salvation and repentance from sins. I haven't heard that in a long time. We just keep studying Genesis chapter, the book of Genesis. Don't want to get into any controversy. Acts chapter 2:38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized." The question was in the verse before, "They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then, how shall we be saved?" So Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahusha, Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKadosh," or the gift of the Spirit. "The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as Yahweh, our mighty one, shall call." And with many words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Yes, we need to come out of false religion, out of Babylon, come out of compromising assemblies that are not just a little bit of compromise, although that that little bit of leaven could leaven the whole lump. But generally speaking, if there's the big compromise in there, we definitely will come out. If it's one of these globalistic ecumenical churches that just believes that anything goes, anything is okay, as long as it feels good, do it. Some of that pop psychology from the 1960s down around Berkeley. So that's how to be saved, is confess with our mouth that Messiah is the mighty one, the creator of the world, and he has forgiveness for us. And we need to do that. It says Romans 10:9, to confess with our mouth that he is the mighty one and believe that he rose from the dead, and you shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, once again. Beautiful chapter there. But, we talked about baptism there, which is, the big D word, the doctrine word, the terrible word doctrine, teaching there that we must be immersed. And that has been so minimized in assemblies. That's too bad. So we believe also in the sovereignty of Yahweh, that he has sovereignty in our lives, in our bedrooms, in our kitchen, in our vacation time. And when is our vacation time? Well, it's, the boss says you're going to get in the middle of July, right? And go off to Canada and vacation up there in the lakes or something. But Yahweh says we must take a break, several times a year. Three times a year we are to travel. These are pilgrimage feasts. And all of that material is available in text and in audio on the website there and also various other places. It's available on the scriptures. For example, Leviticus chapter 23, but that won't specifically tell us when the feast is. Leviticus 23, for example, in verse 32, that's chapter 23, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth month of the at even. From even unto even shall you celebrate your Sabbath. So they're talking about the Feast of Atonement there. And then verse 33, Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Well, who is Israel? That's not us, is it? Well, we read Romans 11. We read various scriptures in the Torah, in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the scripture. We find out that we must be grafted in as a stranger into the good olive tree, Romans 11. So and we find out in Romans chapter 2, who is a Jew? A Jew is not one necessarily circumcised in the flesh, but circumcised in the heart. So who's Israel? Can we get out of, can we use an excuse, an alibi, that we are not Israel? Who is Israel? I think Israel probably is everybody. Just about everybody could be under the category of being Israelites. Not Jewish necessarily, that's the tribe of Yehuda or Judah. So, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the feast of Sukkot, or tabernacles, for 7 days unto Yahweh. Then he says, on the first day shall you be a separated convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. On the 8th day shall you be a separated convocation again unto you. But we're going to keep this feast for 8 days. We're going to keep the feast of Passover. If you back up there in Leviticus 23, verse 5, 23:5, and the 14th day of the first month at even is Yahweh's Passover. Verse 6, the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto Yahweh. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And once again, that's a pilgrimage feast. There's also the Feast of Weeks there in verse 15. Count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. The wave offering, that's a very important thing there too, of course. And when that is, it's not when it's snowing in Israel. Let the lights in the firmament of the heaven. Which lights? Well, we read on, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so, and Yahweh made 2 great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. So that's the sun there, and the moon is the lesser light, and he made the stars also. And Yahweh set them in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness, and Yahweh saw that it was good. So that's Genesis chapter 1. It doesn't say anything at all about the green ears of barley determining when the year begins. So it must be the sun and the moon. The Tikvah in Hebrew, and that's on 3/20 of 2013, is the equinox. And then you can look on a computer and figure out the time. It was 11:03 here on Arizona time, but the equinox on 3/20/2013. So that was the equinox, and then after that, the first new moon will be the new year. So we turn the calendar here to the fourth pagan month, and there it is in 4/12. Actually, beginning the night before, of course, at sunset, 4/12 is the new year. So does Aviv determine the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Trumpets, Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and if there be any other feast that I didn't mention there, does Genesis 1, 14 through 19 talk about Aviv determining when those feasts will be? No, it said that the greater light and the lesser light determine our seasons in Genesis 1. That in Genesis 1 and also in Exodus 10, 11, and 12, It doesn't say anything about that we need to go to Jerusalem to check and see when the beginning or the head of the year is. So, in obeying and keeping the word of Yahweh, there have been many Jewish tales and traditions. And in Titus, that's in the newer scriptures, Titus chapter 3 it is. There's a lot of information. We're going to go through Titus today. So that was Titus 1:14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know Yahweh, the Father, but in works they deny Him. Uh-oh, works. Oh, wait a minute, I thought we didn't have to do works. Well, that's what a lot of people think. I don't think that, but I used to. But in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. There's that word good work again, or that phrase, in Titus chapter 1. Also, might as well go there now, so to make it easy for you, because we're in this Titus 3 now. What's that about? That's strivings about the Torah. People argue, okay, we're going to play a sound bite, a little snippet here for you from an evangelical minister in a couple of moments. In fact, the moment is just about here. Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, and these things will thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in Yahweh might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But Ephesians 2:8, the same speaker, Paul, or Shaul, in Ephesians 2:8 says, for by favor are we saved unto... let me actually turn that, because I'm using, instead of the grace word, I always substitute that. So Ephesians 2:8, let's see, for by favor are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of Yahweh, not of works. Oh, works, terrible, throw those works out. That's what they think. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But how about this next verse? We have to keep reading. For we are His workmanship, created in Messiah, unto, that bad W word there, works. We're created unto good works. Now that's not a bad word at all. That's a great word. Unto great works, which Yahweh has before ordained, that we should walk in them. What are works? Works are keeping the commandments. It's not necessarily helping little old ladies across the street, even though that's a good thing to do, but regardless of what type of person she might have been in her present or past life, help them across the street. But first of all, works are obeying Yahweh's word. What's it also say about works there in that chapter? Works in Titus 3:5, back to Titus again. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Ruach HaKadosh, which He shed on us abundantly through Messiah our Savior, that being justified by His unmerited favor, or pagan word grace, that being justified by His unmerited favor, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things wilt thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in Yahweh might be careful to maintain good works. Good. Great for good works. That's wonderful. Okay, and we have a statement here from a Protestant minister whose name is Bert. Strivings about the law. Here he goes, striving over the law now.
Consider the lilies, how they grow. And the Lord is beginning to teach them, as well as in Matthew chapter 13, that God is more concerned with the hidden aspects of our life than He is with our display of life. Paul, who was a Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, he said, if you want righteousness, I'll tell you, I kept all of the laws, I knew them better than anybody. He said, but I account it all but lost. It's dung, he said, for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then he says this, to know Him. God, in redirecting our focus, wants us to obey Him, not His law. And God wants to reshape our thinking. We have expectations of God that are not real. They're too little. We have perceptions of God that are not biblical. And if the timing is right and no kids are on the tricycles and there's no highway patrolmen around, I suppose. I don't know. That's the way the Father is with us. That's why He always is saying us, look at the lilies. Not because He wants us to look at flowers, but He wants us to obey Him rather than His laws. He wants to reshape our conceptions and our misconceptions about how much He loves us.
Okay. Thank you, Bert. Thank you very much. Yeah, okay, he said, the law is dung. The Messiah, in redirecting our focus, Bert said that Yahweh is not a mighty one of commandments, but of love. But we look now at 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of Yahweh, when we love Yahweh and keep His commandments. For this is the love of Yahweh. Okay, what is the love of Yahweh? For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. He also said that His commandments are not burdensome, but He said, take My yoke upon you and learn from Him. Learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. For He doesn't lay a heavy burden on us, but we need to take up that yoke that He has given us. The yoke to follow Him. Whatsoever is born of Yahweh overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Messiah, Yahusha, is the Son of Yahweh the Father? And this is he that came by water and by blood, etc. That's where I leave off there. But how about that, what some of these false preachers in this respect about the law, where they're having arguments about the law, and Titus chapter 3 said, do not strive and have contentions over the law. What does the Word say about the law? We can turn to Psalm 19, the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. Or Psalm 1, or Psalm 119, but it is, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law does he meditate day or night and day. That's Psalm 1. Psalm 19 goes on. It's the longest chapter in the book of Psalms, and talks about the law there. And I could read some of that for you. Blessed are the undefiled in the way that they walk, who walk in the law of Yahweh, the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of Yahweh. Verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Yahweh, teach me thy statutes. Statutes are found there in the Torah. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all the riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Paul also reiterated some of this in Romans chapter 7. He said, I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man. Somewhere near the end of 7 there. And then we can read Matthew chapter 5. Turn to Matt 5 now. Matatiyahu. And he also said in another place, I don't know off the top of my brain where that is, that not one jot or one tittle of the law shall pass away until all is fulfilled. So the beautiful Beatitudes found in Matthew 5. But also we get down to about verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify or magnify Yahweh which is in heaven. Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, I am not come to destroy, but to fill full or fulfill. I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Has the earth passed away? Has heaven passed away? Well, I know for one thing that the earth has not, because I'm sitting on part of it right now. Till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Now, is heaven going to pass away? And if it passes away, how can we go up and have a good time in paradise and the New Jerusalem and so on? Or the New Jerusalem on this earth, anyway, if they pass away. But I think this is talking about the first heaven, the atmosphere above us, the canopy of heaven, the beautiful blue skies and beautiful clouds and moisture there in the clouds to bring us a drink of water. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments shall teach men, and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Luke 9, here's one for you. For what is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world and loses himself or be cast away? That kind of sums it all up right there. Why assimilate the ways, the culture of the world, and lose your own soul? Why get into idolatry? Why argue against Yahweh and his law? Now here's another cut by Mr. Bob Kilpatrick, and he contends against Yahweh's law.
I keep getting stuck in Galatians. Galatians is such a good book. I know that I keep getting stuck there, but it's so good. I enjoy reading it so much. And let me tell you what I've been getting at. I've been seeing that Paul was warning us against not the excesses of the flesh, as bad as they may be, but against the excesses of religion. I have been watching in America as we develop what I would call the cult of Christianity. It passes itself off as Christianity, but it's really a cult. It's really a misunderstanding of the heart of God. It's what Paul was warning us against when he talked about, he said, they have the form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. There isn't any life filling up their form of religion. Galatians is all about religion versus relationship. Knowing God, living in the freedom of God, like Paul said elsewhere, living and moving and having our being in Him, versus living under the law, living in religion, trying to measure ourselves up against some external standard of righteousness. The standard of righteousness that has been set for us is in a person, Jesus Christ. And we are comparing ourselves always not with a list, not do's and don'ts, not the law, not the religion, but we're comparing ourselves to the person of Jesus Christ. Following Him, Paul said, imitate me only as I imitate Christ. He said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And he goes on to talk about that slavery being religion. Friends, you have been set free from religion. You have been set free to relationship, relationship with the living God. I encourage you to live in it today.
Thank you, Bob. That's just one cut there. Oh, he loves that book of Galatians. For somebody, for example, someone who didn't know anything at all about the scripture, and just went to the book of Galatians to start out as his basis of belief. Well, he would be assuming many, many things. But I found that verse there, Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Yes, his law is eternal, his word, throughout scripture, Genesis through Revelation. How beautiful. But we talk about the covenant. We could talk about that as we have done before. We already mentioned that we must be grafted in to the good olive tree. And that was Romans 11. And we'll go to now to Romans. Okay, Romans 1:31. Here's a list of people who did not want to retain Yahweh in their knowledge. Their reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, and there's a long list there. Debate, deceit, malignity, backbiters, haters of Yahweh. I'm skipping through here. without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful. So covenant breakers, who knowing the judgment of Yahweh, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only they do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do it. And anything else? No? Okay, let's go to Daniel 9:4. I did want to get into the problem of idolatry a little bit today and read from Deuteronomy 32. But first of all, let's follow this train of thought here. Daniel chapter 9, verse 4, in this regard about the covenant. And I prayed unto Yahweh, my mighty one, and made my confession. And Daniel said, O Yahweh, the great and dreadful mighty one, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. And David's prayer continues, we have sinned and have committed iniquity or lawlessness and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. See, Daniel didn't even need to attend some of these Catholic or, Protestant colleges or Catholic ones either. He didn't need to attend Multnomah School of the Bible to learn how to break the law. We just got to have that in our nature to break the law inherited from our first parents, Adam and Eve, or Adam and Hava. Deuteronomy 4:13 and 7:9. So turning back now to the Torah in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we'll let you take time to turn there. And he declared unto you his covenant. Yahweh spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, and saw no similitude, but you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon the 2 tables of stone. And Yahweh commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whether you go over to possess it. The judgments, some of the judgments found in Exodus, right after the 10 commandments, Exodus 21, are some of the judgments. And some of those judgments include these 3 feasts, Feast of Passover, Feast of Weeks, and Feast of Unleavened Bread. Luke chapter 1, I'll read that for you, Zechariah's prayer to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his pure covenant. So here in the New Testament, we're still wanting to remember Yahweh's covenant. In Acts 3:25, I can turn that one for you. Unto you first, Yahweh having raised up his son, Yahusha, raised up his son, the Messiah, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities, or from his law-breaking, another word for iniquity. Unto you first, Yahweh having raised up the son, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his or her iniquities. There in Acts. Oh, also, it might be pretty easy for me at this point to point out there that one in Romans. Paul said, in Romans 7:22, for I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man. Yes. And verse 25, I thank Yahweh through the Messiah, so then with a mind I myself serve the law of Yahweh, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So he's serving with his flesh another law, and that's the one that we automatically default to, that old carnal way. The old culture there, turn on the television, we click over there, so many clicks and we get, and then we click it again, it's the same thing. Same thing on radio, same thing on the internet. And they keep wanting to update our taste buds and want us to accommodate all of these, the modern type of music. Bring the rock and roll into the assembly and into the Messianic church. Yeah, it just keeps getting more decadent. Hebrews 8:6, but now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, the Messiah has obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there should no place have been sought for the second. for finding fault with them. So see here, he found fault with the Ten Commandments. No. But finding fault with them. Who's them? That's the people. With not all the people, not all the Israelites, or David and Moses and Abraham and so on. We would have to also include them and wipe them out of the picture as having any good qualities at all in them. But they were, and Job was, perfect before Yahweh. Finding fault with them, so with the people, as it is today, in the year 2013, he said, "Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." This is the northern and southern kingdoms. "Now, according to the covenant, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not," saith Yahweh. So, no, it wasn't according to the Ten Commandments, statutes, and judgments, and according to the Protestant misunderstanding. Well, maybe it was the same. It's just the way it's administered. Because in the next verse it says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws into their minds." So here it is. First we think he's taking away the law, that is terrible, dreaded, dastardly, awful thing. That was dastardly with a D. But no, here it is that he's upholding the law. "After the inward man, I delight in the law. I'll put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a Yahweh, and they shall be to me a people." Hebrews 8 and also Hebrews 10. And, where does it get that from? Gets it from Ezekiel 36:26. "This is the covenant that I will write my laws in their heart." We've read Daniel 9:4 about the covenant, Deuteronomy 4. Luke 1:7, Zechariah's prayer to remember his pure covenant. Even Malachi, the last chapter right before Matthew, the last chapter in the Old Covenant going into the so-called New Covenant, says to remember the law of Moses. And then we turn the page and we're supposed to think that we're to forget the law of Moses. We read from Acts 3, Romans 11, Romans 1, about the covenant breakers there in Romans 1. Grafted in Romans 11. We read from Hebrews 8, Hebrews 10, Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Yahusha being, or without the Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without the mighty one in the world. Literally, you were out without Messiah, and aliens from the covenants of promise. So can I complete the logic there? Now, if you have the true Messiah, you're not strangers to the covenants of promise. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the esteem or the glory of Yahweh, and the firmament shows his handiwork." So here we are, as we day unto day utter a speech, and night after night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun. As a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the earth, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hidden from the heat thereof. The law of Yahweh is almost perfect. No, the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments, enduring until the cross, no, and forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And that's clean food there, but you don't want to overdo the honey. "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is there's great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." Is that what we hear in the prosperity churches of today? Is "cleanse thou me from secret faults"? "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Well, I think I know what that one is, the great transgression. "Let the words of thy mouth
and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. That was Psalm 19. So now I've got to finish quickly about the part about idolatry. We're 56 minutes approximately into the webcast on YahwehYahweh.name. Another verse that goes along with this study is found in Ezekiel 36:26, talking about how to love Yahweh with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and walk in the Spirit, and keep the covenant. Ezekiel 36:26 talks about the new covenant here. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your mighty one. How does that contrast with the one that Bert was quoting there in Philippians 3? Philippians 3, that I count even the law as dung. No, it doesn't say that in Philippians 3. It says, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them for but dung, that I may walk with Messiah. Well, what were all things? He was referring earlier there in that verse. Doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Messiah, my mighty one, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Messiah. So he lost a lot of things. But he's not talking about that law here that was dung, that was done away with. For Messiah spoke, Paul spoke, they all spoke about the law, that we should keep it, and that it's honorable, and that he would magnify the law. Messiah said that, and that Paul said he would delight in the law. David said he would. A new heart, a new spirit. I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. But anything other than that is idolatry. A standard of obedience yields blessings. We find that from Deuteronomy 28. These blessings can last forever. And then we could study about what is a blessing. You could that's another thing there. Paul Vigiano from Sermon Audio on what is a blessing. A practice of disobedience yields curses, also in Deuteronomy 28. A standard of obedience yields blessings. So are we talking about the law being dung there? Or that Yahweh said that not one jot or tittle of the law will fail until heaven and earth have passed away, the atmosphere above us and the earth? A practice of disobedience yields curses. A standard of obedience yields blessings. We read Psalm 19. A so-called Bible thumper reads, confesses, and lives Yahweh's word. A true believer reads, confesses, and lives Yahweh's word. We do not accept Yahweh, as the Billy Graham Crusades falsely portray for the evangelicals. We don't want to simply accept Yahweh. We submit to him. That word is not used very often. We want to submit to Yahweh, HaMashiach, our Savior. Yes. So then we go to, so what is idolatry? What is there a strange God? Is there such a thing as a strange God? Deuteronomy 32. And they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations. Provoked they him to anger. So is it okay to just worship with all kinds of world religions, with the Hindus and Buddhists and Shintoists and Muslim and so on? They sacrificed unto devils, not to Yahweh, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that brings forth, you are unmindful and have forgotten Yahweh that formed you. That seems to fit in. We seem to fit in. Our current culture fits into that verse there, 32:18. And when Yahweh saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. I'll see what their end shall be, for they are very perverse generation, children to whom is no faith. They move me to jealousy with that which is not Yahweh. They provoke me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn under the low hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. And I will heap evil upon them, and I will spend my arrows upon them. Verse 38, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Oh, there are wicked people yet. I thought we were all saved. No. But the tares represent the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, or Hasatan. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the messengers, the angels. Therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. What are the tares again? The children of the wicked one. What will happen to those tares, the children? They will be burned in the fire. Not just their works, but the tares themselves, says the children of the wicked one here in Matthew 13. Verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his messengers, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. All things that offend, them which do iniquity or lawlessness, and he shall cast them, rather the messenger shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's not just a poof, an instant death, an instant extinguishment. How can you get wailing? Well, I guess you could have a real quick wailing there for a tenth of a second, but I think it's a little more than that. Then shall the righteousness shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. That was Matthew 13. And then later on in that Matthew 13, the pearl of great price, and much, much more. So I don't think that's just an easy thing there. Oh, verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world, the messengers shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Messiah said unto them, have you understood all these things? They said unto him, yes, Master. Then he said unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. We hope that you're bringing forth fruit these days from Yahweh's word, and that his spirit is working righteousness in you. Spirit wrought righteousness, walking in the kingdom of Yahweh, in liberty, in blessings, and in lifting up the name of Yahusha, the Messiah, and Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, and praying, making intercession. Remember the ACTS, adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, and supplication. So we need to adoration. We need to lift up and magnify and exalt Yahweh. Exalt his name and exalt his word. After that, confession. Confess our sins. Confess the sins of our nation. Thanksgiving. That one's a no-brainer. And supplication is asking for others for their salvation, for their deliverance from sin, and their eternal salvation in the Messiah who died for us on the tree, and he rose after 3 nights and 3 days from the tomb. Praise him forever. Praise Yahweh the Father and Yahusha the Son. Thank you for joining us on Yahweh Yahweh. We've been talking about when does the feast start? The calendar, Tikva, equinox versus the Aviv question there at the beginning. We also had a message of salvation. And then more recently here we spoke about the problem of idolatry in the world. So may he bless you today. May Yahweh bless you today as you continue in his word to serve him and obey him. Shalom.